You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. It's a time when I get to open the word of God with you and hopefully I challenge you with what God is saying to us this morning. For those who don't know, my name is Bin. I'm the pastor of Sun Life Church. It's always great to have you here with us this morning. I mean, at Sun Life Church, we come on Sunday because we get to worship Jesus together. It's all about worshiping Jesus. We get to pray to Jesus. We get to encourage one another, of course. And we get to hear the Word of God through the preacher this morning. And this morning, we are going through our 1 John series, Love One Another. We're up to chapter 2. And I'm going to do my best to unpack verses 18 to 25. That's where we're at this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. If you have your Bible, please open it up to 1 John chapter 2. If you don't, that's okay. The words, the verses will be on screen. I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you will help me as I expound and unpack your word to your people. God, I need so much of you right now. I've had a huge week and you know that unless I have more of you, I'm not going to be able to do this. So God, would you help me in this time, Lord? Speak to your people. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me read the word of God and we'll start. Verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not all of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And verse 25, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Wow, this is pretty intense. Let me give you a snapshot of what's going on. All right, John's an old man, late 80s, early 90s. He is the surviving apostle. All the other apostles have died. He is the only one still alive. He's an eyewitness of Jesus. He's experienced Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. All right, he has a lot of credibility, a lot of authority. So what he has to say, people better listen up. And John is this old man with a deep concern because he's hearing things in the church that there's a group of people, right? He would label them the Antichrist. This group of people from within the church, they have this fresh revelation from God. They claim that God has been telling them these great things and they don't want to listen to the teaching of the apostles. So this group of people decide to pack their bags and leave. It gets to John, and John is now so concerned, right? He's saying to the Christian, these people, they're counter-Christians. They're false Christians. They're antichrist. Don't get involved with them. Don't do anything with them. In fact, if you read your Bible, depending on what translation, okay, you may have the subtitle, Warning Concerning Antichrist. Is that right? And isn't that the same for you and I today as Christians? You know, we live in a world where there are so many things that we're hearing online, things we're watching on YouTube, the God channel, you know, maybe the pastor that you're following on Twitter or that preacher that you love to podcast. How do you know that he is not a false teacher? How can you tell What do you do? What must you do? And what we see here is so relevant for you and I today as Christians. I mean, there's two things we can do. One, we can study all the false teachers out there. Know all the false teachers. Know every single one of them. So then when we hear something that's wrong, ha-ha, that's right, that's false. Or we can study the real teaching and everything else that is not in line with the real teaching is wrong. You know, a few years ago, my wife and I and the family, we went to the northern suburbs, visit the northern suburbs of Perth in Kuta, in Bali, right? We went out there and we're walking down the streets of Bali and we're noticing people sell these wonderful leather bags. A Gucci, a Louis Vuitton, Prada at a fraction of the price. Bargain. Hashtag winnings, right? It was so good. And then we walk a bit further there and we see like these wonderful cheap perfume. Chanel number 5, Clive Christian's number 1. You know, these perfume that are... And the young people saying, gee, how does he know all this? Because he does, right? I mean, all these wonderful perfume, they're around $300, $400 a bottle and you can only pick them up for like $10, $15. What a bargain. Shoes in Bali, Nike shoes, so cheap, you know, basketball, AFL, tops, right, so cheap. And we probably know they're all fakes, right, all counterfeit. I mean, I know that Min Lam at the back there, he knows his genuine stuff really, really well. He has a collection of genuine, like NBA jersey, because he knows the feel of it, he knows the texture, he knows the labeling. As soon as he picks something up that is totally different, ha-ha, that's a counterfeit. That's a fact. He's nodding his head right now. All right? And isn't that true? Isn't that true? That to know what is false or what is real, you can either study everything that's wrong or study what is true. And know that really well. And everything else, stay away from it. So the text for us this morning here, I believe what John is doing is John is highlighting these wrong false teachers. But where I want to take you is I want you to look at three things that Christians, true Christians, do. In other words, three things that true Christians behave in. We value relationship with one another. Realize the anointing that we have, and we always remember the gospel. They're the three things that I want to unpack with you this morning. All right? Relationship with others, realize the anointing, remember the gospel. Let's look at the first one. Relationship with others. You see, true Christians, people who are true Christians, you and I, we value authentic relationships with one another. That what God has given us here in this church here is important to us. The friendship, the fellowship, the relationship that exists in the church, it is important because we know the Bible tells us that He is Father and we are sons and daughters, which means we are brothers and sisters. Therefore, if we are true Christians, we value the friendship, the relationship in here. We are family. We stick together in the good times and the bad times. We do not leave each other. We don't say, nah, it's too hard, I'm out of here. Because in the text, what we notice is that these false Christians didn't care. They didn't care about the community of faith. They didn't love one another. They were more concerned about their own interests than the interests of the other person. There was no genuine care. Look in verse 18. John says this, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. Can you see that? They went out. This is what John is saying. That there's a group of people who've decided to pack their bags and go. And John would call them the Antichrist. If you look in the text, he uses the singular, the Antichrist who is to come. He's not there yet, but he will come. If we read the rest of Scripture, Revelation and some of Paul's writing, it seems like this individual, singular, has this demonic, satanic, you know, evil, lawless nature who will come one day and who will cause a lot of trouble. And I don't know who he is. I don't know whether he's here or not. I don't know when he's coming. And I don't really care. But I know that he's coming. But when he comes, he's going to cause a lot of problem. But also in the text, John would say, Antichrist in the plural. There's many of them. They're already here. Can you see it? And he would say, they started within the church. And they've left the church. They've moved out of the church. A group of people who said, well, we've got this direct knowledge from God, this direct line from God, we've heard from God, the teaching that the apostle is wrong because our new teaching is a great teaching. We don't like it here. We're leaving. We're packing our bags and we're going. What's really sad is that these people were originally members of the church. They were from the church. They've denied Jesus. They've denied the Father and they've left the church. Look in verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus Christ or Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. These people here, they denied Jesus, which means that they had this really wacky theology that the spirit is good, the flesh is evil. In other words, anything that is not spirit, it's wrong. So if Jesus is man, he can't be fully good. There's this really weird teaching that, yeah, Jesus was a God, but because he was in the flesh and the flesh is evil, he can't be truly good. And if the apostle is teaching that Jesus is God and Jesus is all good, they're wrong. So these people left the church. They moved out. And did you know that virtually every cult, right, in history started within the church? Did you know that? Every cult started from the church. For example, Joseph Smith. You know, he's the guy that, you know, one day really got upset with church leadership and said that, well, this church is so corrupt, I'm leaving the church. And one day, apparently, an angel from God, angel Moroni, came to him and began to speak to him. And then this angel gave him these new scripture. You know, not the Bible, but new scripture. And that became the Book of Mormon. Mormonism. Because some fella said, nah, the church is corrupted. I don't like the people here. I'm leaving. And we know what happened. A group of people left with him. Now, I want to make this very, very clear. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, when they come and knock at your door, they're nice people. Treat them with respect. They come to my house, like, for some reason, I don't know, they're attracted to my place. I don't know why. I don't know what God is doing. You know, and I open the door and I treat them with a lot of respect and a lot of love because they're really nice people. With poor theology, false theology. I mean, the Mormons would say things like this, that Jesus is not God but a God. You know, that Jesus, you know, his father is God the Father and his mother is Mary because God the Father and Mary had a baby. That's Jesus. And that's their teaching. Forget about the incarnation. Forget about the atonement. They don't believe in that. And we know that's wrong. What we see here is that people who leave the church because of there's an issue or they don't like the unity here or they've heard something different from God, they're not true Christians. True Christians protect the unity of the church. True Christians value the relationship within the church. True Christians, when there's conflict or tension, will work it out. We're going to talk to that person. True Christians realize that God died for the church to give us fellowship and relationship and friendship, and we guard that. We make an effort to protect the unity in the church. True Christians always forgive one another. True Christians willing to come together and discuss matter of conflict or tension. True Christian, we genuinely love the relationship that God has given within this church here. Anyone who for some reason says, no, it's too hard and I'm walking. I'm not saying that there are false Christians. I'm not saying they're antichrist. I'm saying that they need to work on this thing that God has given them, which is the relationship, that they've got to learn to talk it through and work it through. I mean, just because, you know, you're baking a nice cake and someone comes and says, you know what, I like your cake, but it's not as good as Auntie Sylvia's, you don't pack your bag and go. You don't. You know, you don't pack your bag and go because the music is too loud or the auditorium is too dark or church leaders have made a poor decision in your mind. You don't go. You talk it through. You see something that you're not happy with. You ask God to give you the confidence and the courage to talk it with that person. We need to value the relationship that God has given to us in this church here. Maybe God is telling you through me this morning that you've got to get more involved. That you've got to know someone else other than Jesus Christ at Sun Life Church. Maybe it's time for you to get involved into a small group. Get like the guys on stage were highlighting the importance of being part of a small group. Maybe God is speaking to you through me that this is the year that you should get into a small group to work on the relationship that is lacking in your life. Maybe for some of you, God is saying, start serving. Start serving. Serve someone else. Get into a ministry. Find that relationship when you're serving with another group of people. Maybe God is speaking you through me that there is someone or there's a tension or a conflict in the church that you've got to sort out. Maybe it's time to speak to that person. Flick them an email, a text, and say, hey, can we meet up this week? Can we just meet up this week? I want to share with you something that's bothering me. Maybe it's a good time to get your connect leader or your pastor or your elders to help you facilitate that. Because the relationship that we have here is very important. True Christians, we guard that relationship. We guard the unity. We are family. We don't pack our bags and go because it's too tough. We don't go, well, I don't like the pastor's teaching. I think he's wrong. I'm going. Can I share with you what's really concerning when I preach a word of God and then someone comes to me afterwards and say, hey, I love it, Pastor. I agree with that. That worries me. You know, when I finish a sermon and someone comes down, I talk to someone and someone says, oh, Pastor, I love that. I really agree with what you're saying. Don't agree with me. Agree with the word of God. Because there's going to be some times where you don't agree with what I'm saying. Okay? Check it with the word of God. But just because you don't agree with me, don't leave. All right? We talk it through. We value the relationship that God has given to us at Sun Life Church. Number two, we realize the anointing. This is very important. Look in verse 20 and 21. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. And you, oh, have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Here's the reason why John would write this down. These counterfeit Christians, right, claim that they had this wonderful truth, this great knowledge, and everyone else didn't. Their claim was that God spoke to them directly, and they had this wonderful insight of God. They had all the knowledge, but everyone else, you don't. You missed out. In other words, they're saying, follow us. Leave the church and come with us. And what does John do here? He says, you have the truth. I mean, isn't it true today that sometimes, you know, you might hear someone, you know, advertise on their website or on their Facebook, a visiting preacher, that person is promoted as the man of God, with the word of God, anointed by God, come, listen to him, and he will also anoint you so you can have the knowledge like him. Does it happen nowadays? Maybe not. Maybe. I mean, the text is saying this, is that true Christians, you and I, we have been saved by God, and we've also been anointed by God. We don't see it in the English text, but in the Greek text, he starts off verse 20 with the emphatic you. You. He says, you have been anointed with the Holy One. You. This is the thing here. If you love Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord, you have been anointed with the Holy One. You don't have to wait for a second anointing. You don't have to wait for someone to come and lay their hands on you to receive this special anointing. You have been anointed already. I mean, I have certain friends in the city of Perth who are good friends with me, and they would tell me things like, hey Ben, my church is having an anointing service. Do you want to come along and get your guys to come and be anointed? And I would say, no, that's fine. Because I would say that Christians are already anointed. Christians don't need someone to lay hands on them so that they would receive this anointing. Because the Bible says here that we've already been anointed. This is wonderful. Because it kind of liberates us. Not to make us think that we're like second-class Christians. Let me give you some background of anointing. In the Old Testament, kings, prophets, priests are anointed with oil for service. In other words, if there's a king or a prophet or a priest, there's some oil placed on them to prepare them for godly service. All right? But the oil was only what you call a symbol. It wasn't really anything special. All right? So can I say today, here's another thing. This is going to be quite controversial here, right? You know, if you give me some special oil, which is fine, and you say that this is a special oil for anointing people, I will take that gladly off you, out of respect and out of love for you. But that oil is just only oil. Yeah? There's nothing special about that oil. And yes, if you want me to put that oil on you, I will put that oil on you, but the oil doesn't anoint you. Are you with me? Okay? It's just oil. Now look, some of you here, you might not like what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Alright? The oil doesn't anoint you. Okay? The oil in the Old Testament is symbolic of someone greater in the New Testament. Are you with me? In the New Testament, which is where we are today, the substance, not the symbol, the substance is the Holy Spirit Himself. Are you with me? Therefore, if you remember when Jesus left, He said that I'm going, but I'm going to send someone, the great comforter, the great counselor, right? Right? In John 14, 15, 16. Now I'll take you there. John 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You see? Now John 16. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Can you see that? Can you see what's happening here? That when we receive the Holy Spirit, right, through receiving the gospel, through receiving Jesus Christ, God is given to us, and that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible would say that if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the truth, all the truth. Okay? Now, if we go back to 1 John, now you know why John would say to the Christians, you have the truth. Yeah, the truth is in you. Why? Because you've been anointed already by the Holy One. So when you and I, when we believe in Jesus Christ, that He is our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit anoints us and the truth is already in us. Are you with me? I'm not confusing you, right? Already in us. That's the reason why when you look carefully in the text again, go back to 1 John, verse 20. He writes this, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. He's saying, the Christian, you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. You know the truth, and because no lie is of the truth. What John is saying is this, is that because the Holy Spirit is in you, you don't need to follow these people who claim to know the truth, because the truth is already in you. God is your great teacher. The Holy Spirit is your great counselor. He's the one who will reveal all truth to you. You don't need to follow these cult leaders. That's what John is doing. Remain in the church. Stay in the church. You have the truth in you. Don't listen to the claims of these people who are saying things like, come and follow us because we have the truth and we will share that with you. John is saying, no, stay in the church because the truth is already in you. Are you with me? What do I do every Sunday? Is I preach the Bible. I teach you that God speaks to you through the Bible. That's what I do every Sunday. I don't come here on a Sunday and say, well, God said this to me during the week, so thus say the Lord, and just off I go. I don't do that at Sun Life Church. I open up the Bible and I say that this is the Word of God and this is how God speaks to you and I. I'm modeling that to you so that you too can open this up during the week and let God speak to you. All right? As we read the Bible, right? We find out that God is speaking to us, that God is our great teacher, and God loves to teach us good things. All the truth God teaches to us if we are willing to open up the Bible. God is Father, and a father loves to teach his kids all things. All the dads out there, would you agree with me? Like, if you've got kids, don't you want to teach your kids things? Don't you want to teach your kids how to kick a football? Don't you want to teach your kids how to play the piano? Don't you want to teach your kids to be good at maths or drive a car? Isn't it true? As loving dads, we love to teach our kids all things. I've got 2 boys and a girl, and I love to teach them. And I'm not biased. Like, I'm not biased towards one child. I love them equally, and I want to teach them equally. And that's the same with God. God is Father, and God teaches us all. God is not biased. He doesn't teach the pastor more and the welcome guy less. No, he doesn't. He teaches us all the same. Because he is our loving father who loves to teach his children. Right? And he teaches us through his word. And the truth is already in us. Here are a few things I want to encourage you guys to do. If you want to really be taught by God here, start reading the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. You want to hear from God? Read the Bible. Simple as that. Don't sit under a tree. Don't play a DVD or play this CD player. Read the Bible. Simple as that. Some people say to me, well, Pastor, I haven't heard from God for a long time. It's been months, it's been years. I haven't heard from God. And I'll ask them this simple question, have you been reading the Bible? And the answer is usually no. Simple. The Bible is here for us to read, for us to study, for us to memorize, for us to meditate upon. Read it. And as you read the Bible, God will show you great things and he will teach you great things. The truth of God is through Scripture. That's one. Here's another thing. Listen carefully. Listen to your pastor. Listen carefully. Now, actually, can I just quote something from Spurgeon? This is a wonderful quote from Spurgeon here. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. In other words, if your Bible is still spanking brand new, right? You know, like you haven't opened it or you haven't scribbled in it. Hey, don't go home and do it this week, right? Don't just pretend, right? Just like, all right? But a Bible that's falling apart, because you really love, because you're in it, usually belongs to someone who isn't falling apart. All right? Start reading the Bible. Number 2, listen to your pastor. Now, this is important. It's because there have been people who've said, aha, 1 John chapter 2, Holy Spirit has anointed me, all the truth is from God, I don't want to listen to anyone, I don't want to go to church, I just stay at home because God speaks to me directly, therefore forget about being part of a church community. People have taken this out of context. Now listen carefully. Who is teaching the people then? Who was teaching these wonderful people about false teachers, antichrists? Who? And John. How was he teaching them? Through the letter. John is this great pastor. He loves them and he's teaching them. So it's important for you to be part of a church. where you trust that the pastor, the preacher, the teacher that God has placed you is a godly person who is hearing from God, who's studying the Word of God, and listen to what they're saying. Right? Don't neglect coming together. You know, Hebrews 10, you know, don't neglect coming together as some in the habit of doing so. Come regularly. Come every week to hear what the preachers, the pastor is saying. Listen. Okay, God's given you preachers and pastors to teach you things. Listen to what they say. Don't chuck those Sunday sickies. All right? Come regularly. Number three, this is important. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. As you hear me preach, God's going to either confirm it, all right? There's either going to be a conviction or a caution. Hear me out, all right? If it's not right or it's really unsettling you and you go, well, gee, that's wrong. That oil thing, you mentioned about that oil thing, that's really, really wrong. That's fine. You know, pray about it. Open up Scripture, all right? Come and talk to the preacher. Okay? Because it can either be from God, because the person on stage said something wrong, or it could be from you, where the person on stage is saying something right, but you're not happy with it. Whatever the outcome is, right? Go and speak. Speak to that person. Dialogue, engage. That's very important. But let's just say the preaching on Sunday really struck your heart. And you're going, wow, that is an area that I need to really change. You know, I received a couple messages during the week where someone said, you know, thank you so much for reminding me about idols because there's something that I'm struggling for the last few months. If God has confirmed it in your heart, all right, the Spirit is speaking to you, then that's a good thing. That's truth. That you picked something up, you're going, wow, thank you, God. So read your Bible. Listen to what is preached on Sunday, all right? And allow God's Spirit to work inside of you. You have that anointing already. You have that truth already. Start using it, all right? If someone comes along, you know, as a visiting pastor or a preacher and claim that if you come to them and they can anoint you and give you more of God's portion, I think that is so wrong. God doesn't give us half of Him and then He waits for another person to lay hands so that you have the other half. It doesn't work like that. When you receive Jesus, God gives His entirety to you. You have Him. He's in you and you're in Him. You've been anointed by the Holy One. So start reading the Bible. Start coming regularly on Sunday. Start letting God speak to you. And the truth, right, will come to you. Amen? Here's the last thing here. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. Look in verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. What is John doing here? He's saying to these wonderful Christians, what you heard in the very beginning, when the gospel came to this city here, hold on to that truth. That has not changed. Remember it always. The gospel is so important. The text says, you know, abide or remain. In other words, stick close to it. Always think about it. Always remember it daily. And what John is saying is that true Christians, you know, we remember the gospel daily. Every day, it's always about gospel, gospel, gospel. Sun Life Church will always be about gospel, gospel, gospel. If you're waiting for me to preach on eschatology, end time stuff, yeah, I will preach it one day, but it won't be the main thing because the main thing here will be gospel, gospel, gospel. Because we're all about Jesus. We have to remember Jesus always. You know, if someone is talking about something other than Jesus, I would say stay away from them. Stay away from them. If they're not talking about Jesus, if they're not talking about the cross, if they're not talking about the atonement, if they're not talking about sin or repentance or grace, stay away from them. It has to be about the gospel. Remember I told you, like last year when I was in Busselton, and these wonderful ladies came to me and started giving me these pamphlets and saying things like, you know, come to our gathering because our God will heal you and you'll be anointed and it'll be a great time for you. And I looked at that brochure, it looked really, really good because I saw the cross there and it was great. I saw Jesus there. So I asked them, What's the gospel? And they couldn't give me an answer. They did not mention Jesus. They did not mention sin. They didn't mention the cross. All they mentioned was come and God will heal you. Come and you'll be anointed. Come and God will break your bondage and you'll be set free. And I asked about the gospel, nothing. No cross, no repentance, no forgiveness, nothing. I get worried with Christians like that. But if I talk to my other brothers and sisters about Christianity, and if the first thing they talk about is the gospel, wow, that's great. They're the people that you want to be involved with. In fact, if you focus on the gospel becomes the measuring stick, the plumb line to Christianity. Paul does that. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul does that. Paul loves to use that technique where he employs this strategy. He talks about the gospel. For what I receive, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's Jesus' brother, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, that's Paul, the least one abnormally born. That's the gospel there. True Christians, we remember the gospel always. That we don't deserve God. We don't deserve to be saved by God. We were all sinners. We didn't want God. We didn't want the things of God. But God, in his great love, his mercy, would want us. That God would save us. God would do all that is required to give us relationship with him. God did it all. That's the gospel. See, for those who've been coming here and you're hearing me preach every Sunday, I'm always going to remind you of the gospel, the cross. It's not about what we do, you know, to receive Christ. It's not about what we do whilst we're still alive on this planet. It's about what God has done so that we live effectively on this planet. That's the gospel. The gospel is that, you know, I love that song that we were singing before, that, you know, my sins have been forgiven. You know, his scars. You know, he forgives me. That's the gospel. And God would do that for you and I, to be in relationship with him. And here's the wonderful thing as we conclude this morning's passage in verse 25. If you remember the gospel, if you remain in him, look in verse 25, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Eternal life here, listen carefully, in this context here, is not living with God forever. I've said that before, months ago. Eternal life here in the context of 1 John is Jesus. Are you with me? We get Jesus. Jesus becomes ours. That's eternal life. Yes, it's a given that you will live with Jesus forever. Yes. In eternity future, we will be living with Jesus. You and I will be worshipping Jesus forever and ever. That's a given. But for John's sake, he's talking about the fact that you get Jesus today. That's eternal life. I'll prove it to you. Go to John chapter 1. Verse 2, 1 John 1, 2. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. There's the eternal life. Which was with the Father and has appeared to us. See, that's Jesus. Or how about 1 John 5, 11, 12. Some of you will know this verse here. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Why do you think we're called Son Life Church? Because we have Jesus. We are given Jesus. That's the wonderful thing. When you receive Jesus, when you want Jesus, you don't get health. You don't get wealth. You don't get a good-looking husband or a big house. When you receive Jesus, you get Jesus. That's the gospel. You get all of Jesus. He is yours today, and you get to experience Him now. That's great. I love that. And the Bible tells me that when I have Jesus inside of me, He's my Lord. Oh man, life is wonderful. Ask anyone here who really, truly loves Jesus, who is a true Christian, ask them, how was your life before you met Jesus and how is your life after meeting Jesus? And I guarantee you they'll say that, wow, it's wonderful. It's abundant. It's awesome. John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, an abundant life. It's wonderful. That's why we're all about Jesus. You know, you can be poor. You can have nothing. You can be poor in the flesh. You don't have to have much to have a wonderful life. I know people who are struggling, who are so poor, but they still live life to the max because they have Jesus. You don't need to have a big house or drive an expensive car or have a huge bank account or have those wonderful label clothing. You don't need all that to have a great life. No. Jesus is all you need. You have Jesus and you have a wonderful life. It's purposeful. It's meaningful, it's joyful, it's rich and deep, overflowing, because the relationship you have with Jesus is just wonderful. That's the promise for true Christians. As you remember the gospel, as you abide in Him, oh wow, don't forget, you have Jesus. Jesus is yours to enjoy today. When I go into Vietnam, and I do some work in Vietnam every year or so, and I'm up in the highlands of Vietnam, just bordering China and Vietnam. And I'm spending time with the pastors up there. Oh my goodness, you know, they invite me to their house and you know what, there's no carpet, there's no tiling, there's no Jera floorboards. You know? It's just dirt. Just dirt. And I see the pastor's wife, you know, she's so cute and she's sweeping the floor. You know, just to clear it so that I can come and enjoy a meal with them. And as she's sweeping the floor, dust is everywhere. But hey, they don't have windows. They have these open holes which the dust would go out. And I would sit down and you know what? They would give me just some corn or some potato and maybe a chicken. I don't know. It's simple. I don't understand them. They don't understand me. But we have Jesus and we have a great time laughing and loving life. That's the abundant life that John is referring to. You have Jesus, eternal life now. True Christians who remember the gospel, who abide in the gospel, they remain in God, Jesus is theirs now. See, for those of you who are still coming here and you're trying to figure out this Christianity thing, keep coming. Because my job is to just really present Jesus as being so wonderful, you know, that you want Him. The Bible would say, well, you know, taste and try Him. I pray that you would just really try Him because He's wonderful. The promise there for you and I is eternal life. Not forever and ever with Him. That's a given. But now. And there's many of you here. You're enjoying Him right now. I could see it in your life. You love your family. You love your city of Perth. You love your church. You love your community. You love your life. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my three kids. I love my life. I love it. I don't need to have a lot to love life. I love life because it's meaningful. There's purpose. It's overflowing. And Jesus is my center. And there's a lot of us like that. See, true Christians, we're like that. We remember the gospel always. We realize we've been anointed. Holy Spirit. And of course, what? What's the very first point? Who can remember the very first point? No one. Oh my goodness. Relationship. we value relationship with one another. So that's why I say to you, I would rather focus on the true Christians than the false Christians. Therefore, anyone that is not loving what God is doing here, who comes to dilute or divide and cause disunity in the church, they're not true Christians. All right, that's the reason why Jesus says there's wheat and weed in the church. Right? Wheat and weed. Okay? And I don't know whether some of you are true Christians or not. I don't. It's not my job. My job is to pastor you all, to love you all. But I don't know. That's the reality. I look at your fruit. That's important. All right? People who love the relationship here, guiding the unity, forgiving one another, you know, sticking it through, not packing their bags and leaving. Oh, they're true Christians. You know, people who know that they've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, who's going to read the Bible, you know. They're the one who listens to what the pastor's saying. They're coming regularly, letting the Spirit of God speak to them. Well, they're the true Christian. And the one who remembers the gospel always. Gospel, gospel, gospel. Wow, they're the true Christian. And that's my challenge for us all. May God speak to us in His wonderful way to help us live as true Christians. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much, always for your word. Thank you so much that we have you. That in your word, you say that we have you because you have given yourself to us. Lord, the life that we have is a wonderful life, and we know that for reality. So God, I pray right now that you would just begin to speak to every one of us here. God, speak to us right now, Lord. For those who need to reconcile, those who need to forgive, those who need to speak to someone, Lord, would you give them the courage, the boldness to speak to that individual and really sort out the matter? For those who are not connected, for those who want to grow in their relationship, Lord, will this be the year that they will get involved? Will this be the year that they will be part of a small group, serve alongside other Christians? Will this be the year, Lord? Lord, I pray that everyone in this church here, Lord, will know many people and really value the relationship. God, I also pray, God, that we will continue to love you and love your word as we read your word, as we study your word, as you begin to speak truth into our lives, Lord. And Lord, that we be a community that will always remember the gospel, always. That we always remain in you. So we love you, God. With all eyes closed, I just feel that it's one of those things where I want to just challenge you and ask you. I do this when I believe that God is prompting me. Maybe you have been coming along here for some time now. And you're saying, well, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want all of Jesus. You know, just because, you know, you might have been brought up in a church when you're a lot younger, it doesn't mean that you are a Christian. You're only a Christian when you say, I desperately need Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you would save me. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into my life. And I want all of you, Lord. And I want to have that eternal life. Not a future existence, which we know is a given. But I want to experience that life now. I want you, Jesus. I want to be anointed by your Holy Spirit. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be able to read your word and hear from you and receive truth from you. If that is you this morning, and you want Jesus, this is the day. This is the day. And all I need you to do is let me know. You raise your hand and I want to know who you are because I want to pray for you. Because I believe that when you encounter Jesus, life changes. Is there anyone here this morning who says, that's me. I need Jesus. I don't fully understand this Christianity thing, but I just want Jesus right now because my life is such a mess and I need Him right now. I need more of Him. Is there anyone this morning who needs Jesus? Who says, I want to give this Jesus a go. I want to give Him a go. I want to taste how good He is. I want Him to be the center of my life. Is there anyone this morning? And I'm looking. Because it's not going to be a bad decision. It's a great decision. It's a good decision. Lord, I pray that You continue to work in all of our hearts. Lord, work in all of our hearts. For those who don't know You, draw them close to You day by day. For those who know You, Lord, may we live every day for Your glory alone. Live as true Christians. People who value relationship. People who know that they've been anointed by Your Holy Spirit. And people, Lord, who remembers You always, remember the gospel every day. Will You bless us, Lord? Will we live as true Christians for Your glory alone? In Jesus' name we pray.